Are we touched by the past? This is Dr. Herbert O. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. Are we touched by the past? When people tell us stories of the past, which are not really dramatic or anything, they're just sort of casual and interesting, so it causes us to listen to it. Are we touched by what's said? Are we touched by the adventures that go on? Like, I just told a series of stories to our group here on what my family had done and how they had lived during the Depression, and the neighbor kids came in and ate, and how my aunts, who one of them was wealthy, and she didn't share much, but she had a mink coat that was turned into moths. And if the moths weren't present, the coat fell apart. But would you be touched by such a story or such an adventure? And if you're touched, then why? And if we could train ourselves to live in the present tense, we wouldn't be touched. Mm-hmm. Now, just imagine if the situation I told about, Depression time in the United States back in the 30s, if you could think in that time, now, what would you do? What would you do? Would you think it was terrible? No. Would you think that it was mean and hateful? No. Would you think that you were being deprived? No. Would you steal and hurt other people to get something so that you could eat and things like that? No. Why not? Because that wasn't done. You had values, that you lived by these values, and you wouldn't violate them. And so what was the greatest value that you learned during the Depression years, for me at least? The greatest value was to like everything you have, enjoy everything you have, appreciate everything you have, and if you didn't have the cash to buy it, you didn't buy anything else. Uh-huh. If you didn't have the cash to buy a new car, you didn't have a new car, or any car. If you didn't have the cash, I saved up for a little old radio that I wanted so badly, and you know, when you're earning 50 cents an hour or less than that, I forget what, I worked for my dad in his construction business, and as a kid, he tried to get me paid, you know, so that I would have money extra, and so the rest of us kids could too, but the rest of the kids didn't like it like I did. Hey, I was very rich. And so it was not more than a couple of months before I could afford to buy that little radio. And I bought that radio, and I'll never forget that. It was like a little suitcase, you know, it had a little wooden handle on the top, you carry it, you know, but it's, you plug it in. It was before the days of portable radios. And it was quite a lovely thing, and I had it for a long time, and then somehow or other it just sort of disappeared with other things that disappear in our life, you know, we don't know where they go. And but when you live in the current present time, it's a joy. I remember every experience of my life as a happy time, because I relive it, and I only take the happiness out of it and relive that happiness. And so my now is the happiness of the total lifespan that I've ever had, of all the people that I've ever known and all the circumstances that I've ever been involved in. They're always happy. Can you do that? Can you live in the now? Can you do that as you listen to people talk? When people say, well, for instance, I told you about Joseph, and he's complaining about his conditions. And so I write Joseph a letter. And I say, Joseph, you're fantastic. You're now in heaven. You've chosen to be there. It is your place that you wanted to be. And now start seeing the good in it, you know. And he writes back to me, you're not here. You can't do that yet. And so I write back to him, Joseph, I am there. I see it all beautiful for you. I see everyone loving you just like you love yourself. I see everyone, you know. And he doesn't take to that right away, but I keep planting the seeds and planting the seeds, and we worked through this before, at other times. So I'll do it again, and I've done it with many, many people, planting the seeds. I don't care if the crop doesn't grow right away, you know. I just keep planting the seeds because I know that eventually they'll take root. And when they do, it'll be my reflection, you know. My reflection of him being in his ideal place. Now, he wants to be here with us. He thinks this is ideal. Okay, Joseph, I see you here. I see you in the Shangri-La. I see you fixing it up. I see you putting in new roofing and ceilings in the rooms to make them beautiful. I see you making it all to your pleasure, you know, but not fast, just little by little, fixing it up, but always perfectly done, you know. And I'll probably send him over to meet Art and get good friends with Art, and then he'll tell Art what he's doing and how he has to do these things and he doesn't have the strength to do it. And Art will say, well, let me come and help you. You know? And truly, truly. And if he's got any moxie about him at all, any pizzazz about him at all, he'll put the world to work on his behalf instead of against him. And this is what masters do. This is what people do who are in charge of their world. They put the world to work on their behalf by being the kind of person that the world loves to work with. And it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. But this is who you are. You're divine. You're beautiful. You're wonderful. And the world is wonderful right now. Everything is beautiful. Now, I don't mean only right now. I mean, right now the world is wonderful and beautiful, and right now continues at every moment that ever will be or ever was. And it's great. Yeah, yeah. I have in my heart the thought of the experience that I had when I was a youngster. I told you about this, that the orphanage was about 6 blocks from our house, you know. And those kids went to our school. And our school was where mostly families were, you know, but then these orphan kids were there too. It was a Lutheran orphanage. And it was a real nice group of kids, you know, just okay. And so I would go to the orphanage every once in a while, visit them, and they'd show me around, and they didn't have any clothes. They didn't have any underwear. They didn't have any socks. They didn't have pants and stuff like that. And so I had a long coat on, you know. And so I'd take off my underwear and I'd take off my socks and I'd take off my shirt and sweaters and stuff and leave it there. I'd have my pants, otherwise people would see my legs down below, you know. And so then I'd go home, and it's wintertime, and I'd go home and I'd have this long coat on, and I'd go up to my room and get dressed and come down, and Mother noticed that my supply of clothes kept getting smaller and less. And she didn't never ask me. She never asked me what had happened, because she knew that anything I did was all right. You know, I had a good arrangement with Mom. And but here comes the joy. As I would give these things to those kids, they would be like a light bulb going on. Ooh, ooh, ooh. They were so happy. They had clothes, and they had good quality clothes. My mom always bought good quality stuff. They had good quality clothes, and they had good quality underwear. They had good quality socks and shirts and sweaters and stuff like that. But occasionally I would ask my brothers if they had any clothes that they didn't want anymore, you know. And so then I'd take that, because and then Mother would get upset because it wasn't theirs to give, it was hers. And well, with me, I got away with it. But to me, the greatest joy, I still have it now, is the look on their face of having things that were nice to wear, and it just made them good. Now, this didn't make me a good person. This is just merely my set of values, where I live in the now. And because I gave that little gift so many years ago, it's the joy is still in my heart. Now, can we all say the same thing? Yes, if we start looking at where we brought joy to the world. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you, I love you, I love you. I love you.